This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We're coming to you live from the Quicken Loans Studios. National mortgage lender Quicken Loans. Apply simply, understand fully, and always mortgage confidently. Zach Gelbin for Amy Lawrence all week on After Hours right here on CBS Sports Radio. Let's chat some football right now. And we'll do so with Cliff Avril, former Seattle Seahawk. We'll talk a little football and also his charity, the Cliff Avril Family Foundation. Cliff, it's Zach Gelb. Appreciate a few minutes. Thanks for the time. How are you?
I'm good. How about you guys? How you doing? How you holding up?
Well, I'm doing great. Can't complain. Always fun to talk to you. Most importantly, update us on your health after that gruesome neck injury that you did suffer during the season.
I'm getting better. Every day I'm getting better. I'm starting to move around. I'm working back out. I feel good. You know, the range of motion and all that stuff is back to normal. So I can't complain. You know, it's a process, a long process, but it's getting better daily, and I can't. It's been great so far.
Now, I read that you were joining the KJR radio family. So you getting into media? Is this it for your football career?
It's a high possibility. It depends on what the doctors are saying. I still have a few more visits, but. You know, just in case they're telling me, you know, it's not a good idea, then, you know, I have this KJR gig that I'll be joining the media world and being able to discuss sports, something I love to do.
Did you ever think you'd join the media when you were playing football?
No clue. I always said I wouldn't, actually. But as I got older and I started paying attention to it a little more and the opportunities and different things like that, it made sense for me, and then I have a different, you know, I have a different point of view. So, and people are interested in that. So, why not give it to the people?
You know, you've been around the game of football your entire life, and now your football career could be coming to a close. And if it is, you have this great opportunity in the radio world. Just how tough of a decision is that when you're in the situation right now, where you may want to play football, but you don't know if you're physically going to be able to?
It's tough, but at the same time, I've had 9 months now to kind of take it in. You know, my wife and I, we discuss it, you know, once a week and just seeing how I feel or whatnot. But, you know, like you said, right, I've been playing football for 15, 16 years, so for the majority of my life. And I know I'm going to miss it, but I think I'm going to miss more so the camaraderie and different things like that. But these are all things that are going to happen eventually anyway. So we just got to – hopefully it's if not now, but we'll see.
How about that family aspect of it? Because you mentioned your wife – and we all look at you as a football player, but there is a family element to it, which, you know, sometimes we forget about athletes. And, you know, even though win or loss on a football field on a Sunday, you guys got families to go home to, and, you know, they have to deal with all that goes on with being a professional athlete.
Yeah, no, a lot of people, for whatever reason, people tend to forget that, you know, we're human beings too. You know, like we have a family, like I have a wife, I have two boys, you know. And a lot of times people don't really think about that. And, you know, that's a big part of my life. They're the reason why I play still, or why I've even considered to continue to keep playing. But, you know, they're my heart and soul, and they keep me going in whatever direction it is that I go.
We're talking to Cliff Avril right now. It's After Hours. Zach Gelbin for Amy Lawrence all week right here on CBS Sports Radio. You know, I look back at your career, and I was at that Super Bowl at the Meadowlands. It was a completely one-sided affair, and you guys sent the message very early, and you never let back. When you recap that one, if, you know, this is the end of your football career, just take us through that Sunday, because I thought you guys were going to win the game, but I didn't see you guys winning it by the margin that you did, Cliff.
That's ironic, right? My son got in the car today, and he put in the DVD of the Super Bowl year. And he's just playing in the background, and I'm sitting here thinking about it. I'm like, wow, that was like, I forgot that happened, or I forgot I got to sack that game, or, you know, I forgot we beat whoever, you know, that bad or whatever. And that year was just crazy. Like, I talk to Michael Bennett all the time, and we keep bringing it up, and we're like, we didn't really know how great we were at the moment. Like, that was a great team, a great defense especially, you know. And, you know, just sitting back thinking about it, man, we had a great bunch of guys that just knew and understood their roles, and went out there and just played lights out. And, you know, it was a great year. Every time I think about it, I come up with something different that I forgot about. And, you know, it just brings, you know, joy and understanding, you know, that we did something special.
Yeah, I'll never forget being in that stadium. And I was sitting in the stands and we had Seahawks fans right in front of me. And right out of the gate, they're tossing up Skittles. They're having a lot of fun, you know, doing what the 12th man always does. Yeah. But after, you know, the first quarter, they just disappeared. And I get back on the train to go back into New York City from New Jersey. And we see these fans. Out of all the people at the Super Bowl, we met back up with them. And I said to them, I go, where did you guys go? They go, we knew that one was over after the first quarter. We went to the bar in the stadium and we started celebrating.
That is funny. But we did jump on them pretty fast. I mean, you know, but with Peyton Manning back there, even through halftime, I'm telling the guys, look, it's Peyton Manning. He's one of the greatest to ever do it. Like, we can't let up. And then Percy Harvin catches the doggone kickoff return, takes it to the house. I'm like, oh, yeah, it's a wrap now. It's official. So, yeah, the fans, they're awesome. And you know, they kind of, I guess, they were used to it that year. So they started partying early.
Now, the next year, we all know how it ended. You guys get back to the Super Bowl. You lose to the Patriots. Russell has the interception to Malcolm Butler right at the goal line. You know, there's always conversation that after that, the locker room in Seattle had a contentious feel to it. Were you guys, you know, it didn't seem like you guys were able to recover from that. You guys had some success after that, but not as much as you had the previous 2 years. How much truth was that to the contentious, you know, relationship rumors in that locker room after such, you know, a big play, obviously, that people will remember for years and years?
Yeah, you know, at the time, I really didn't think it was anything there. You know, we all have bad plays. We all make bad decisions. I jump off sides from time to time. Like, that's part of the game. So, you know, you can never really blame a player or, you know, for a particular player or anything like that. But as I dive deeper into it, I guess some guys did still have issues with the circumstances or maybe even players, you know. But me personally, I that's not who I am. I don't point fingers. That's not what I do. Like I said, I jump off sides from time to time. So how can I be mad at somebody for doing, you know, throwing a pick or whatever the case may be? So, you know, it is what it is. But I do believe some guys still had a little bit of tension. It was unfortunate, but it is what it is.
You know, it's always the zoo after a Super Bowl, win or lose, especially with how much media members are present and you have your families there and how many fans are in the building. You have one feeling, you know, that first time when you guys win it, and then the next one when you lose it, you know, no one likes losing. It has to suck, especially at the fashion in which it did occur. What do you remember after that locker room, after that defeat to the Patriots, and how your teammates were handling it?
Well, unfortunately for me, I actually got hurt.
Oh, that's right. You had the concussion, right?
I had the concussion, so I had to watch the game from the locker room on TV, and there's a delay. You know, it's like a 5 second delay or something like that to what's actually going on out there at the moment. And for me, I'm watching the drive and on TV or whatever. I'm hearing the crowd go crazy. I'm like, oh yeah, we're in this. We're about to get us another one. We're back to back, you know? And, probably like two plays before, I see some of the guys come running into the locker room and they're crying. But then I'm like, I'm kind of confused because I'm looking at the screen and it looked like we have a great drive going on. And I'm like, maybe we just scored a touchdown and, you know, but then I see guys running in, they're mad and crying and punching walls and stuff like that. And then I see the play. I'm like, oh my gosh, we really just lost this thing. And, just the feeling of just seeing all my guys that laid it all out and weren't able to pull it off. It really sucked. that's really what it boiled down to. The locker room was, you know, in shambles. Guys are going crazy, hollering, and all kind of. I've never seen that before from any of our guys, and to see that, you know, it was kind of disturbing. Unfortunately, you know, because of the situation, I guess that hurt a little more. But you know, guys were definitely pretty mad.
Well, I'll be honest with you. It was a good time for me because I grew up as a Patriot fan. So me, my uncle, my cousins were jumping up and down like a bunch of 5-year-old girls, honestly.
Yeah, a lot of people, a lot of Patriots fans were there, and I'm pretty sure they were excited. I've never been missed so much, though. A lot of people were saying that right after, like a day later, they're like, man, once Cliff ever got out the game, Tom went on a streak or whatever. I'm like, I've never felt so missed before over a game, and I don't know if I would have made a difference or not, but we were getting after him while I was in the game. So that's kind of a positive for me.
So you're in the locker room, and I'm sure you're getting checked out, and you know your health is obviously important first. Mm-hmm. Did you want to go back on the field and just, you know, sit there and watch the game, or were you just okay with being in the locker room, being with the trainers, and you know, watching it unfold that way?
No, I definitely wanted to go out on the field, but protocol in the Super Bowl is once you get hurt and you go back into the locker room, you can't come back out. So, because I was fighting it. I'm like, what do you mean I can't go back? Like, my guys are out there, and they're like, it's just an NFL rule. You can't do it. So I had to end up – I ended up watching most of the game with my wife in the locker room.
Nah, that's absolute torture. I can't even imagine that. As we're wrapping up with Cliff Avril right here on CBS Sports Radio, you look at all the names that have been with Seattle for years and years and years, Richard Sherman, Michael Bennett, yourself. Now it's a different feel in Seattle as they look to get this thing going back in the right direction. Since mm-hmm. you're going to be entering, it seems like the radio family out there in Seattle, how about mm-hmm. the state of the Seahawks right now currently?
It's interesting. You know, they're pretty much revamping. You know, they still have Bobby Wagner, KJ Earl, and that's a good group of guys to you know, kind of be the foundation of the defense. And speaking from a defensive perspective, you know, I think they have a great group of guys, but it's, you know, you're depending on a lot of younger guys that don't have experience, and that can be challenging a little bit, you know. But if anybody can do it, Coach Carroll and those guys can do it, because they did it with, you know, the Richard Shermans and Earl and all those guys when they were all very, very young as well and weren't really experienced. So if anybody can do it, you know, Coach Carroll and John Snyder, they can definitely do it. But it's going to be an interesting year for sure.
With all the new rules where you're no longer allowed to lower your head to initiate contact, how do you think that impacts the game? Because, you know, early on, you know, preseason, but really the first four games of the regular season, that's going to be a big talking point.
Oh, it's going to be huge. It's going to be interesting. It's going to be a lot of missed tackles too. But it is the right move for health, from a health perspective. You know, I think, you know, they're trying to make the game as safe as possible, but at the end of the day, it's football. Like, that's why people love it so much, is the fact that, you know, you get to run into people, and it's the one place you can run in and hit people and, you know, not go to prison, you know? So that's why people love it. But at the same time, you know, the game is going to get watered down a little bit, but it's for the protection of the players. And I like the direction of it. It just depends on if people are going to really want to watch it.
How much do you think, with all that's been made over, you know, the last few years with the movie Concussion, with the CTE research, how much is that on your mind, you know, knowing that your career is coming to a close, you know, maybe you get back into it, but how much is that on your mind about what the next, you know, 5, 10, 15 years could look like for you?
It's been on my mind since I've been playing football, honestly. It's been on my mind since the movies, since I started paying more attention to the effects of it. And for me, you know, I'm getting screened. I'm doing all these different tests already, because I don't like most guys, I think, really don't want to know. For me, I want to know so I can find a way to prevent, you know, having some of these issues or whatnot. But at the same time, too, you see a lot of other players too that played back in the day where, you know, they're basically playing on cement and, you know, hitting their heads and whatnot, that are doing fine too. So it's a balancing act for me, because I don't want that to be in the back of my head of, hey, I'm going to have CTE, or, hey, I'm going to, you know, have all these issues, when there's, you know, a lot of players that played a long time that don't have any issues as well. So it's just a balancing act, but I definitely think about it.
Do you have kids?
Of course, I got two little boys.
Would you let them play football, or do they play football?
No, my little boys will not be playing. My oldest son wants to so bad. He just plays flag football at the moment. But if I had my choice, I don't want my kids playing.
Let me get one more on your career as we're wrapping up with Cliff Avril, and then we'll talk about the Cliff Avril Family Foundation and all the great work that you do. So we mentioned all the winning with Seattle. There was also a lot of losing before you got to Seattle, and that was with the Detroit Lions. How do you look back at your career in Detroit?
I love the city. I love the fact that they gave me an opportunity to play in this league by drafting me. It was definitely a learning experience. I'm glad my career went in the order that it did go, because winning the Super Bowl, then going 0-16, would have felt way worse than, you know, going 0-16 and winning the Super Bowl. So, but I learned a lot. And I think the best thing for me was going into that situation. And I, like, being in Detroit taught me a lot about the business of the NFL. And I appreciated that overall is just understanding how the NFL works, especially when you're losing and how terrible of a situation you can be in, and then being able to be on the other side and actually winning. So I got to feel, I got to see how all of it, you know, plays out, and, you know, end up having a decent career.
Cliff, the floor is yours now. Tell me all you want to do about your foundation and the Cliff Avril Family Foundation.
Yeah, Cliff Avril Family Foundation is my foundation that I started about 5 years ago. And you can get all this information on CliffAvrilFamilyFoundation.org, where, you know, we're geared towards juvenile diabetes, where I do a lot of stuff with JDRF, Juvenile Diabetes Foundation Research, or Research Foundation, should I say. And, you know, we do a lot of work in Haiti as well. I'm building an elementary school out there right now. It's almost done, where, you know, I do a mobile health clinic in the same area as well, host a football camp. And also, we built 25 homes last year after the hurricane, you know, came through on that island. So we're doing a lot of different things, and we're trying to bring awareness to juvenile diabetes as well. You know, it's just a passion of mine. I want to keep it going. Even if I do or don't play, I want to continue to keep giving back and keep helping.
Well, Cliff, that's excellent stuff. Best of luck moving forward. If this is the end of your football career, it's been a hell of a run. And if it is the end, I guess you got to get ready to start giving your opinion, being critical, and start yelling behind that microphone.
For sure, for sure. I appreciate you having me, man.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.